hard, but the Rasta community did not benefit at all from the donation. So the RMO is a coalition of 13 different organizations in Jamaica, and they're looking to raise money for five different Rasta houses in Jamaica, to help the Rasta community. So Rastafest is partnering with them this year for the first time to raise
Amazing.
money, goods, and everything to assist the Rasta House, so that the August 14th symposium, 100% of that symposium goes towards a Triple R. We call it a Triple R campaign, and the Triple R campaign is really about raising funds to help the five Rasta organizations in Jamaica. And then that's on
Love
the Friday. And
it.
then,
Love
so
it.
yes, so we're launching, though the official launch of the festival is August 7th. It's not going to be a
Oh, okay.
double launch.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, we have a media launch August 7th, which is next week Friday. So we're hoping to hit the 6 o'clock news on the Friday the 7th here in Toronto.
Yeah.
So August 7th at 3 p.m. we have the media launch, and then in Jamaica now we're also launching the festival the same day, August 7th, but at 6 p.m. You understand? So it's a
Yeah,
double
yeah,
launch.
yeah.
So our theme is Rastafest to the world, because
Got
we're
it.
including Jamaica in it. Yes.
Yeah. Love it, love it, love it. And when you think about all these years that, you have been, putting this festival together amongst an incredible team, I'm sure. What are
Oh
you
yeah.
most excited about when you think about the festival this year?
Well, you know what? Every year the festival, we have been fortunate enough to have a good support from the audience, right? Every year we get a big crowd. Last year, the year before, the year we get a big crowd. But every year I've never really, even though we get a big crowd, I'm always looking to see how I could do improvement. I'm always, we get to level, as I said, level up, So this year one of the stuff we call a Rastafest Village. And I want people to come and experience what's like to go to, let's say, a Rasta village in Jamaica. Yes, you may not, so you have the Nyabinga drumming, you're gonna have, well, you won't be having the ganja smoking like that, but you have the Nyabinga drum, you have the idol food, you have the music, you have the, children activities and all that. So we're hoping to convert this parking lot into a village, right? And it's our venue is a parking lot, an indoor outdoor parking lot, meaning that we're indoor but outdoor, meaning, that means that if it rains, no problem. That, you know, you don't have to worry about the rain. But it's outdoor because it's the first level of the parking lot. So I want to convert this venue. And we have been doing a little Jamaica night market once a month at this venue. So I really love the venue, beautiful venue. So this year, I want people to experience Rastafari liberty. So, not just, when it's a Rasta, people think of Bob Marley. Let's be real. Bob Marley is the first that comes to mind. But then what about the religion? What about the culture, the lifestyle? What about the idol liberty? And I mean, when people say vegan, but they don't understand, before vegan was idol
I
food.
tell,
Before cannabis, it was ganja.
sure.
So Rastafari have been preaching this from 1930. So I
Yeah.
want people to experience the Rastafari liberty when they come to Rastafest. So I'm
Love it.
always, so when I say I want to level up, it means that I want to see how much, I mean, yes, you can do so much in a parking lot, let's be real, or so much in a park, let's be real. But I want them to have that kind of experience for the Rastafari liberty, yes.
I love it. I love it. Now, this festival is put together by, the Canadian Reggae Music Association and Rastafest Inc., as well as, I'm sure, other partners. But what, outside of Rastafest,
Well,
what other
yes.
events are going to be taking place over the next little while?
Okay, so we are located in a community called Little Jamaica. Little Jamaica, for those who are familiar with Toronto, Little Jamaica is between, it's on Eglinton from Marley to Dufferin. And what's called Little Jamaica, in the 70s, we had, Jamaican businesses were there. So in the 70s, when you want to find a black person in Toronto, you go to Little Jamaica. Back then, was it called Little Jamaica? It was called Up on Eglinton. So it's on Eglinton between Marley and Dufferin. I used to be there in the 70s. I remember, I just dated myself. I remember going there in 1977 because my friend used to have Eitel shop there. So because That was the largest concentration of Jamaican businesses in the whole of Canada now. In the 70s, it's still the city of Toronto has, you know, put, you know, the, you know, they've, I guess, the green light the name, let's say Little Jamaica. They've sanctioned the name Little Jamaica. So the official name is called Little Jamaica. So that's where we are located. Studio M is an audio video production and recording studio. That's where we, you know, we are located. And out of Studio M now, we have the Canadian Reggae Music Association. We have the Little Jamaica Business Association. We have Masonic Production and Rastafest. So we operate from one location, but it's three levels. So on the main floor, we have programs. Right now, we have an arts development program for young people. In the basement, we have a recording studio. We have an internet, a 24-hour internet radio station called studentradio.com. So we do a lot of stuff at Studio M outside of Rastafest, but Rastafest is really our biggest, let's say, flagship event. And because it's once a year, it's the biggest one, and we do get the numbers. And we get the sponsors, too. Because if you look at our flyer, I mean, we have three levels of sponsorship from the government, from Canadian Heritage on the federal level, on the provincial side, Ontario Art Council, Ontario Create, and then, of course, City of Toronto.
True. Love it. Love it. Love it. And back. I just want to swing back over to the rest of us again. Is this a ticketed event?
No, it's free. And Rastafus is always free. Well, we try to make it as free as possible throughout the years. It, you know, in 1 or 2 years, I think we have, you know, did admission. But to be honest with you, I'd rather have a free event than a paid event, because it's hard. People think, you know, paid event is better because, you know, you make some money, you know, revenue at the gate and all that. But trust me, when you have to put up, you know, barricade and pay the police officer security, it does add up. So it's a free event. So anyone all across Canada could come and support the festival. And how we promote is a family fun festival. Grandmother, grandfather can come, grandchildren, you know what I'm saying? I mean, children, parents. Yeah. So it's really a nice family festival.
I love it. I love it. And before I let you go, I'm just going to have a few more questions. So the timing of the festival, is it sort of like a 10, 11 o'clock in the morning going till about 10 o'clock at night type stuff?
No, we try doing the dating and the dating doesn't work.
Okay. People don't, you see why I asked? I'm so glad.
People don't, and it's not just Rastafest. I think festival in general, it's hard to generate a day crowd unless you have children activities, lots of game like amusement park and all that. Adults don't come out before 6 o'clock, unfortunately. But so we used to be 1 to 11, but we don't do that 1 to 11. We stopped doing that for the longest while. So it's 60, so we use 10 in the morning, let's say, to 5 in the day for venues to come and set up. So the festival starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 11 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. The symposium, though, on the Friday, though, it's a little different thing now, because the symposium is from 1 to 5, August 14. Again, it's a symposium, it's educational. So because of that, it's more one to like a lunch. You come for lunch 12 to 1, and then from 1 to 5, then you attend a symposium. So it's different because of symposium. But the festival is more an evening thing, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Love it. And before I let you go and make sure that we, you know, find out how we can connect with you, is there anything that maybe we may have missed that you want to share today?
Well, I mean, the best thing to do is go to our website. I mean, we're everywhere. You know, we're everywhere. So if you go on Instagram, you'll find us, Rastafest Canada, Studio M, Sound Production, Canadian Reggae Music Association. If you go to Facebook, we have a Facebook page called Rastafest. We have a group called Rastafest, but we also have the same thing on Facebook, you know, Rastafest Canada, Studio M, Canadian Reggae Music Association, Masana Production, and Masana Montague. TikTok, same thing, Studio M, Rastafest Canada. And LinkedIn, Masani Montague, and then I don't think we do much on X. But, and then our website, of course, is rastafest.tv, Masani Production, or Canadian Reggae Music Association. So we're everywhere, and we try our best to update our website as much as possible. But once you go to Instagram or Facebook, you'll find us, because we live stream our event. And
love
because we
it.
live stream it, we always put, so even though you're all the way up there and we're all the way here, if you were to go follow us on social media, you'll see us live stream. For example, August 7th, when we launch the festival and the
Right.
conference, at 3 o'clock, we're gonna live stream that,
Oh my
right?
gosh. Love
So
it.
you see what's going on in our studio.
Love
And then
it.
August 9th, we do something called Foundation Sunday. Foundation Sunday 6 to 11, we play Foundation music. We live stream that.
Love it. And guys, I'm going to ensure that I put all the links so that it's very easy for you to connect and find out everything that's going on in the show notes. So you don't have to stress because you guys are everywhere, Masani. I love it. I love
Yes, we are everywhere.
it.
Can want people to find us. Who want people to find us, come see us. If they're in Toronto, they may not be in Toronto, but they may have friends in Toronto. They may
That's
have family in
right.
Toronto. So that's the
Exactly.
idea of us doing what we're doing. So if you can't come to Toronto, at least tell somebody who is Toronto to come and check us out.
Absolutely. Again, Masani, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And I know that WrestleFest is going to be amazing this year.
Yes, and we give thanks to all the supporters that we have, from the vendors to the artists to the volunteers to the
Do you hear like
audience
the humming?
itself.
Do
We
you hear the
always
humming?
give thanks
Yeah.
because you know what?
Is that the
You
music?
know, we have been going about
Yeah.
33
Check.
years, you know, 33 years, and that's a very long time to be carrying a festival.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sending so much blessings.
And that was my interview with Masani Montague, Festival Director with Rastafest, happening on August 15th and 16th, and all deets will be in the show notes today. And now my guest is here, The Delicate. As you know, we heard some tracks earlier on in the show. So hello, we have Dee,
Hi.
aka The
Hey.
Delicate. How are you
Hey,
today?
I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And I am so happy that you made it up to the station because I love having guests here, as you heard my pre-recorded interview prior, but I do love having guests in studio. So thank you for joining me. Now, I would love if you could take us on a bit of a journey and share, how did you get into music?
Oh, yes, that's quite a
Yes,
journey.
listen.
Okay, so it all started way back when. No, so my parents actually met at Berklee College of
Oh
Music.
my gosh.
Yes, a sweet little love story. My dad was my mom's teacher.
Oh
I know, it's like a little bit scandalous, but we love it. She's older than him, so if they're in their like
We
late 20s,
love
you know,
it.
late 20s, early 30s. But yeah, so my dad is a musician. He's a jazz guitarist. My mom's a singer. And then also on my mother's side, her uncles had a big band in the 1950s called the D'Alessandro Band, which I'll reference to later on. But that's where Della comes from in the name, The Delicate.
Okay,
So
cool.
that's a cute little thing. But Frankie and Rudy, so my great uncles, they played clarinet and saxophone. So I really literally have music in my blood.
Yes.
But yeah, so I moved to BC. So I was born in Boston and then I w moved to BC to Nelson, BC
Okay, right
when I
on.
was 3 years old and grew up in a musical family. And let's see. So I started singing, like every child who has musician parents as much as I could. There's like f cute photos and videos of me like with air guitars doing concerts for my parents.
Love
And
it.
then when I so my parents had separated, my mom had moved back to Boston, and when I was in grade 11, I had decided that I was going to move to Boston for grade 11 to experience what it feels like. Like I knew I had this thing inside of me that was like, I need to experience something bigger than this beautiful small town.
Fair.
And I also want to get back to like the roots of where my family landed. So that was really interesting because when I was there, I had like a complete culture shock, like awakening, going from a small town in the middle of BC to a suburban city in Boston, and just seeing so much, being exposed to so many things that I was protected from, honestly, like you know, consumerism, even drive-throughs, like pharmaceutical drugs, like all sorts of things that I hadn't experienced amongst my peer group. And so I remember I wrote my very first song in my mom's apartment, and it was a song about making the world a better place. And it was like, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. And it was all these cute, you know, things talking about war and all sorts of things that I wish I still talked about in my music. But it's coming back. It'll come back. But yeah, so that's where it all started for me. And then I started writing songs like a lot. I was more of like an MC, doing a lot of, you know, make a better living for the children to the world would be a given. Hey. Like all this, like, you know, lots of like, you know, I was so inspired by like A Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Reflections Eternal. And then I came back to Nelson for grade 12, and my uncle Sonny was starting what he called an electro-funk band. Nice. And I was like, hey, can I be your backup singer? Mm-hmm. And then I showed up to the rehearsal, and they were like 30-plus-year-old rock and roll guys trying to learn how to cover like techno music. Wow. So they were like playing a local DJ's like mix cassette. And I was like, wait a minute, this is drum and bass. And I had already been going to raves since too long, but I was very versed in electronic music, and also the drummer was like a younger double kick metal like drum and bass drummer. So then I was like, hey guys, let me just bring a few songs to the band. And I brought this Jill Scott drum and bass remix. Nice. You know, it's the and like Groove Armada and all these songs that I've been listening to for years. And all of a sudden I went from being the backup singer to being the front, like me and one other male vocalist, we were the front vocalist. And that band was called Superfly.
Love.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, I was 17. I would have to like wait in the green room until it was showtime and then play my show and go
bounce home.
Out, yeah. Yeah. And back then I used to go by Erica D. Okay. Yeah. So I started performing, and then, you know, performing, opening for different hip hop artists. Like when I was 17, I opened for Lyrics Born and the Pocket Dwellers. Nice. And, you know, a lot of artists would come through Nelson en route between Vancouver and Calgary. Mm-hmm. So that's where it all began for me. And then I basically moved to Vancouver as soon as I graduated. Okay. And I started performing and working at Lit Club, which is like one of Western Canada's only lesbian bars. Yeah. And I was very inspired by my girlfriend and everybody else at the time that was around me. And that's also when I started DJing. Nice. And I was kind of, I was here in Vancouver as a vocalist, and, you know, I knew how to use Pro Tools to record my voice, but I was craving to have more musical knowledge. Mm. So when I turned, I think 21, I decided I was going to go back to Nelson to go to Selkirk College, okay. The same music college that brought us out here, because my dad actually was one of the founders of that program.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, let me go back. So then when I went to music college, that's when I got my, you know, overall understanding of everything musical. Mm-hmm. It was pretty special because I went there, I hadn't played any instruments, I knew how to sing, I didn't know how to read or write music. And then when I left there, I did a full score and recorded, produced Natural Woman, Aretha Franklin.
Hey.
Yeah, and like writing out every single string, every single horn. So yeah, that was such a great program for anybody who's listening and also wanting to go to music college. Just shameless plug.
Yes.
Even though it's not my school, my dad doesn't even work there anymore, but I highly recommend it. I know Hallelujah.
Yeah,
that they went there too. There's quite a few folks in the music scene. Anna Katrina was there.
Nice.
Actually, I went to school with Kaiza.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
that's so fun.
I know, so wild. It's so cool seeing like the musicians that I went to school with. But yeah, so that's where I kind of learned my overall, you know, how to produce, how to play keys, a better songwriter. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got picked up at that time because I was DJing, I was throwing events in Nelson to pay for my going to school.
Yes.
I've always been an entrepreneur like you know, we wear many hats.
Yes.
But then I got picked up by this woman, Melissa Moretzky, who was in Wasabi Collective. I don't know if you remember that. They were like a jam band. She's a phenomenal percussionist, vocalist, MC. Mm-hmm. And we made a group called Luscious Beats, which was like two women rapping and singing over every style of music. Like, I was mixing everything from dance hall to like Bollywood, Bhangra, funk, disco, house. And she would play percussion and we would just rap and sing. So that's kind of where like touring started for me. And then I could go on and on because I mean, I'm talking about like 2009.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I want to bring us to the present day.
You're like, where are we?
No, only because listen,
15 years
listen,
later.
We could be talking all day, but yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about your latest album because did play a track off of the album, and it was the track you did with Junior T.
Yeah, cool.
Yes. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that track and the album as well, you know, since you're here?
Yeah, totally. And like, I think this is only the second time that I've publicly talked about the album, which is so exciting because like technically on the social media. Yeah. I haven't actually announced that I'm dropping an album yet, but yes. I'm like, hey guys, really exciting news is coming. So this is great.
Yeah, I love it.
So Junior T, I actually met Junior T because my little sister, who's like a huge advocate of me, was like, yo, you need to meet Junior T. He's Jesse Reyes's DJ and he's so cool and I seen him perform. So like she kind of like introduced us on Instagram maybe like, I don't know, 7 years ago. And then we hung out in passing. And then Junior T has been like, such a huge champion of my music and also as me as a producer because this record that's coming out, it's predominantly produced by me.
Love.
Junior, yeah, it feels wild. Junior T is like one of the only two other producers. Like it's Junior T and Chris Scholar. And they're like the co-producers. I mean, this track definitely is produced by Junes. And I just jumped in and did a couple of little tweaks. But he championed me as a producer and also did some additional drum production on the first three songs that have already been released.
Love it.
But yeah, I can't say enough good things about this man. Like when you meet somebody who is just like a genuinely good soul and is also like, yo, D, you got this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of wild because I kept like, even when he did a bit of drum stuff on the track, I'd be like, oh, but are you sure? Like maybe he did it. He's like, yo, I gave you the stems. You're good. You know, like go run with
it.
So goodness was, it was cool because we were working on different music and then we just started vibing out and he started creating this song. And then I had a friend come over to come visit and she started telling me, you know, I was like, so how you been? What's going on? And she started talking about how, you know, she's really been going through it, watching this, you know, the genocide that's been happening in Palestine, showing up like, and I was like, girl, me too. Like it's such a hard place to be right now. And also like, as soon as we turn on our phone, everybody has us. And it's so hard to protect, you know, that vulnerable space when you wake up in the morning. So I literally started talking to her and then I started singing. And so that's kind of where the concept of goodness came from. Yeah, it's like a conversation with a friend trying to be like, look, like just be kind to yourself and be patient. Like things are going to be okay. We can always come back to this, but also feeling like, how do we talk about these hard things and still have hope when we feel just completely plastered by them? You
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have another question, which can be hard for some and not for others, but you know, we are women, and I'm just curious, like, what has it been like to navigate through a life as a musician, right? As a woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I mean, it it has been interesting. It's definitely been a journey. I think specifically here in BC, like, I mean, yeah, I guess every music scene is just not enough women. Like the hip hop scene, the electronic music scene, the jazz scene, it's like predominantly all lineups are male dominant. It's like 80-20%. I definitely feel like it's gotten better. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I've had situations where, you know, I don't always feel safe as a woman, especially as a DJ playing in clubs. It's like, for the longest time, I would just dress down. There would be certain things where I'm like, I need to dress a certain way so that these men don't look at me like I'm just another piece of meat. Also being a queer woman, working in certain spaces where I'm like, I got to be more like the bros just so I can like have that like, hey, let's see each other eye to eye. And yeah, they always say like, you know, as a woman, we have to work like twice as hard because they see a pretty face and they're like, oh yeah, she's pretty. Is she going to be any good? And it's like, no, I really have to continuously prove myself. So I think it's about like carrying myself as a certain way and also putting in, you know, all of that work. I never want to get hired based on how I look.
Yeah.
So I've just always, you know, worked really hard at being a DJ, singer, like a writer. Like I'm just constantly wanting to expand and evolve my skills and also knowing the spaces that feel supportive and that don't. And I think also having, you know, really solid male mentors throughout my career has made it a lot easier for me, whereas I know, you know, not every woman has that. So I definitely feel for that. And then for me, I'm also you know, I also mentor and teach myself. So nice. I'm constantly, you know, trying to give as many opportunities to queer folks, to non-binary folks, to women, people who are less heard. Mm-hmm. So I think kind of using any position of power that I have had to promote and support others has been, yeah. Did I answer your question?
You sure did. No, you did. No, you answered it. And you segued into another question that I wanted to ask before I get into how we can connect with you and one last track.
Yeah,
but what advice would you, because you talked about mentorship, and mm-hmm. I love that, and I'm like, what advice would you give a woman, non-binary, you know, queer person who wants to get into, not necessarily the space that you're in, but a space as a creative, because I feel like a creative journey is very similar, has a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
So what sort of advice would you give?
Yeah, you know? I would say, like, really protect and refine your personal practice and make that a part of, like, for me, it's almost like a ritual. I don't know if you don't use that word, or like a ceremony, or, you know, like, I really consciously will go into my studio and I'll be like, this is my time to be with my muse, to create, and also to focus on my craft. Like, I've learned a lot from the people around me. Even my father, he uses his guitar practice as a meditation. So, like, first of all, have whatever your routine is be like a non-negotiable and prioritize that, and just always try and be the best that you possibly can. Take it seriously. I think in Vancouver sometimes we get a little comfortable because you know, it's not like New York, it's not like LA, it's not like Toronto, and because I've lived in those spaces and spent time there, I see like really how cutthroat it is, you know, and like really how competitive it is, you know. And I think competition is healthy because it's always made me level up anytime that I've gone there. So so put yourself in situations where you are going to feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Be open to feedback, be open to criticism, like take it as a grain of salt. Protect your space, and also like know your worth and know who you are and find what your authentic offering is, and just have that be your beacon or like your guiding light.
I love it. And can you believe it? Like, we are already like practically at the end of the show.
I know, forever.
Like, but for those who listen to CJSF 90.1 FM, The Delicate is going to be back and doing some even live music as well on the 27th of this month of August. And she'll be coming on the Beats and Eats show that I also host from 1 to 2 and 12:30 to 1. You'll hear some live. So we are going to get into way, way, way more things.
Yay.
So, you know, stay tuned. But I would love for you to share, like, how could people get connected with you now? They have heard some of your music earlier on in the show. They've now heard you speak and got your vibe.
Yeah.
How could they connect?
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, anywhere that you connect, I'm there as The Della Kit. So THEDELLAKIT. If you want to contact me directly, that's also my Gmail. I do answer my DMs. I also am going to be running my community singing series again in September. That's going to be Monday nights. I post everything on my Instagram. I know that's not the best thing. And my website will be launched in the next 10 days.
Hey.
So that will be thedelicate.com. But yeah, anywhere, like if you just Google The Delicate, you'll find me and you'll see what I'm up to. So
absolutely. Yeah. And guys, I will also include links to connect in the show notes. So just in case you were walking about as you were listening, you don't have to stress. It is all good.
No stress. You'll find me. I'm out here.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I'm going to like play us out with Falling Stars off of the upcoming album, Dream Speaking in Color.
Yay.
And next up is Democracy Now. So again, thank
Amazing.
You so much.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
they need at just the right time. I was deep down and scared. Your hugs the ones that light my fire, with words that I needed to hear, saying, this is your time, you're gonna be alright. You got this, babe, and we can switch it up.